The sliding scale of expression of diplomatic umbrage between countries is well established and well understood by those who represent their nations abroad. For relatively mild disputes, probably an official letter of protest delivered by or to an ambassador will do. If it's a bit more serious, an ambassador might be summoned to a meeting at their host's foreign ministry, at which, subject to various nuances and conditions, coffee may or may not be served. But you know it's really serious either when an ambassador is instructed by the host country to pack their bags and push off, or when an ambassador is called back home by the government which sent them. It is the last stop before a formal severing of diplomatic relations. Israel and Poland, having already worked through the aforementioned preliminaries, have now arrived at this level of froideur. As luck would have it, Poland's ambassador to Israel, Marek Majerowski, is presently back home on holiday. Israel has firmly suggested that he stay there, and Poland is making arrangements to bring his family home from Tel Aviv. Israel has withdrawn the Shah Defer who was manning its embassy in Warsaw and told the nominated new ambassador who was shortly to deploy there to stay where they are. It is a significant sundering. At issue is a law approved this week by Polish President Andrzej Duda, which will limit the prospects of people seeking to recover family property stolen during the Second World War by the Nazis and or after the Second World War by the Communists. The new law prohibits challenges to any decisions about ownership made more than 30 years ago, which means that thousands of pending claims will be dismissed. The contention of Poland's government is that this will furnish clarity around property ownership and deter fraud, which has plagued such restitutions. Poland's government has also been careful to remind that the law applies to non-Jewish as well as Jewish claimants, but that Jewish claims have been a minority of the total.
There's no moral justification in backing up on the memory of those who perished during the Holocaust.
Israel's foreign minister, Yair Lapid, is not merely unconvinced, but incandescent. He has called Poland an anti-democratic and illiberal country that does not honor the greatest tragedy in human history, unquote, and said of the new law that it is unethical and furthermore anti-Semitic, a jibe he knows full well will prompt uproar in Poland, which is always sensitive to any suggestion of Polish complicity in the horrors which occurred on its territory under Nazi occupation. Lapid also declared that gone are the days when Poles harmed Jews without consequence. It is not the talk of someone who either expects or wants something to blow over quickly. There are a number of subtexts. Israel has long been annoyed with Poland over this issue. Poland, unusually in Eastern Europe, has never passed a law facilitating compensation for this kind of theft and left it to claimants to struggle through the courts. Poland's Prime Minister, Mateusz Morawiecki, reiterated the reasons for this omission this week when he insisted that Poland would not, as he put it, pay for the crimes of Germany.
Poland was the first victim of the Third Reich during the war. Death and suffering in the Nazi German concentration camps was a fate shared by Jews, Poles, and those of many other national and ethnic groups.
Defensive nationalism is a recurring motif for Morawiecki's hyper-conservative party, Law and Justice, and a theme which has been known to drift into something less savoury. As recently as last year's presidential election, Poland's public broadcaster TVP, heavily supportive of Law and Justice, was hinting darkly that President Duda's opponent, Warsaw Mayor Rafał Trzaskowski, would, quote, comply with Jewish demands on restitution issues. Yair Lapid and Israel's Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, are also putting on something of a show for domestic consumption. Their government is new. It may, certainly if recent form is any guide, find itself facing re-election sooner rather than later and will be wanting to reassure voters who may still prefer the familiar belligerence of Benjamin Netanyahu, who himself prompted an immense fracas with Poland in 2019 when he made reference to the wartime cooperation cooperation of some Poles with their Nazi occupiers.
Wrapping up his trip to Warsaw, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told reporters that Poles collaborated with the Nazis, and I don't know anyone who was ever sued for such a statement. Yet some news outlets quoted the premier saying the Poles, suggesting the blame is on the entire Polish nation.
At around the same time, Naftali Bennett, then serving as Israel's Minister for Education, reminded that members of his wife's family had been murdered in wartime Poland by Poles. This stuff runs deep in all directions, and understandably so. None of this history is ancient. Also in Poland this week, a court overturned a ruling against two Holocaust historians, Barbara Engelking and Jan Grabowski, who had chronicled the complicity of some Poles in wartime crimes and been sued as a result by the descendant of one.
This is of particular importance in matters that constitute an important element of public debate. Raising important social issues regarding the history of a given state and nation.
This now seems destined for Poland's Supreme Court and another bitter row. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.